Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that there is a word from the Lord, and we're happy, excited that God would give us an opportunity to minister to you. Before we go too far, though, let's go ahead and get Prophetess Crystal in here with our morning announcements and our morning prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with none other than Apostle McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. And while you are there, please take some time to check our website out, learn more about us and the ministry, and even those ministries that God has allowed us to cover that are overseas. If any one of you would like us to come to any ministerial engagements, you would like more information about the church, or you have a prayer request, as you're on our website, www.ctkr.org, go to our contact button or tab at the top. Click on that on the third, halfway down to the page. You will find that information. Click on it. Put as much detailed information as you're comfortable with, especially if it's a prayer request. And someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny does have a Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page, people of God. Like us there. Give us a shout out. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Also let us know if you would just have a prayer request, excuse me, a praise report. Amen. Let us know also, again, that is under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Those are the announcements for this morning. Amen. We just want to also say to each and every one of you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy Blessed New Year. Amen. We pray that God is, as the new year approaches, that you leave the old things behind, amen, and that you will press into the new, and that this is your year and your season, amen, that you shall produce, amen, whatever God has called and placed upon your life, that you will begin to manifest in his glory, in his fire, and in his power. That is our prayer for you. Amen. Those are the announcements this morning. Come on and let us pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. You are worthy of the praise. You are worthy of the glory. We lift up our hands this morning, God. We submit ourselves to your will, your way, and your purpose for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill this room with your anointing. Fill this building with your anointing. Touch each and every life, God, in the name of Jesus, with your presence and with your anointing. Father, we even pray now that those that will be listening in to this broadcast, that they would feel your presence right wherever they are. Father, we pray and ask that as the man of God begins to deliver this word, Father, let it break off shackles. Let it loose chains, God. Let it open up closed doors in the name of Jesus. And even let that word close doors that need to, that should have been, or I should say open doors that need to be closed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for your power. We thank you for your presence. God, we ask that you would begin to reveal yourself even the more in your people. Father, as we cross over into the new year 2014, Father, we just ask that you would allow us to increase in your power, your anointing, that you would make clear our kingdom purpose, our kingdom design. Father, even now, as we begin to cross over, Father, we ask that anything that we have attached to us for the last 7 years, once and for all, it will be severed, spirit, in the name of Jesus. God, we plead the blood over each and every one of our minds, our souls, and our spirits. We ask for forgiveness right now. We separate every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. God, we give your name praise. We give your name glory. We say purify our hands and our hearts and our minds before you, God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, all the glory belongs to you. Amen.
And amen. Amen. We are so grateful for that prayer. We know that God loves us so much that he chose to use us like he does. And we're so grateful that he has done so. Amen. Today we want to shift our focus just a little bit. We have been dealing with 1 Corinthians 6 and a couple of other scriptures we have been dealing with. And although I would like to continue here, because this is needful for the body, we need to address the fact that the season that we're in is the Christmas Advent. And it's interesting, you know, I've seen some people who have asked questions, and they were thought-provoking, you know, such as if John the Baptist were here, how would he perceive how we deal with the Advent? And I already know, and you know, being spiritually minded, that he would have problems with what he actually sees. We have become very commercialized in our worships, in the celebration of Jesus, his birth, and the Messiah. You have to understand that even though he knew him as Jesus, he honored him as Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that we may know some things, but we always have to honor as God has honored. Amen. Mm-hmm. Perceive as God perceives. And I think, I wish I had time to really get into that. The message that we need to take away from this right here is that God sees us in a different light than we see ourselves sometimes. And you have to bring your vision up to his vision when it comes down to who you are. If you always live at the level of your expected success and you don't expect to succeed, then that means that you'll never reach any of the high heights, deeper depths that the Lord has called us to. Mm-hmm. So you have to expect greater. Let's look at your neighbor right quick and say, expect the greater.
Expect the greater.
That's so important, because when we talk about expecting greater, we really have to look at the fact that when we are expecting greater, we're saying, God, that no matter what is going on, no matter what has happened, no matter what my pedigree is, no matter what my past is, I have greater ahead of me. And when we go into the year 2014, as we are preparing to do so in just a few weeks, we will be able to look back and celebrate. Amen. The life that we have had over this past year. Now, some of you saying, well, I don't know if I could celebrate that life. This was a rough year for me. Some things happened. Some things went on. Some things occurred. You know, it was very difficult for me. And my thing to you is, you know what? Hey, that was the past year. Thank God he brought you through the year. Amen. There are some people who didn't make it out of last year. Amen. And you can look and see that even though it may have been rough, it may have been tough, there may have been a couple of times when you wanted to just throw up your hands and just let it go, you know, and just sit over in the corner and wait for the ceiling to drop, the sky to fall. God kept you, and he kept your mind, amen? You know, it's good to know that even at your worst point, even at your most dismal speculation, God is still greater than anything. Amen. It is that revelation that we hold on to that keeps us focused. Amen. It keeps us focused on the fact that God loved us so much that he provided a way for us. And I can be successful. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be successful too.
You can be.
Amen. You can. You can. Because he was successful. He made sure that we are successful in him. Amen. Now, today, let's get into this word here. There's several things that we want to look at. Amen. We prepare ourselves. Amen. And while I'm opening up this word here, let me just say, for those of you who are listening, please go to our website, our spiritual sons and daughters over in Kenya and Uganda. Every year around this time, they do a celebration or they do a Christmas service for the widows, the orphans, and the vulnerable children. And let me explain what that is. The children that are vulnerable are those who have no fathers. The father has died from AIDS, has been killed off, or some other thing has happened to him where he is not there. It is different than over here where fathers may just walk away, you know, rather than deal with the situation. It is based on the wars and the warlords and things like that and the living condition there. Sometimes the men are out of the child's life, not because of not wanting to be there, but because it is not feasibly possible based on the economy and the way that things are set up. There have been other situations, and I tell you, I encourage every minister of the gospel to at least once travel outside of your circle. And what I mean by that, go to Africa, go to some of these other places that we only hear about, and then find out what people are really dealing with when it comes down to Christianity and preaching the gospel. Because if your vision or your view of the gospel is, you know, if we going through something, it's because there's sin in our life, then guess what? You don't really have a world view of what it means to preach the gospel. Because simply in the Islamic nation, Islamic culture, to say the name Jesus could be death. Amen? And these people are over there proclaiming the gospel. So you can imagine what they're actually going through in the way of Christian persecution. Amen. So you think that it's something that's coming with the tribulation and the last days. Guess what? We're living in those days and those things are still happening. Amen. But what they deal with, the vulnerable children, those who have no fathers. When a man divorces a wife over there or the mother's put out, then she is vulnerable to whatever they do. There's no one to advocate for her. Of course, orphans are those who have lost their parents. Amen. And the vulnerable women are those that I previously spoke about, those who have been widowed or those who have been divorced. they have to still fend for the children and try to make way over in that culture. It's very difficult without support from the outside because no one on the inside is trying to help them. Amen. So this time of year, we have services and we provide services for them over in Kenya, Uganda, in Nigeria. Amen. And we want you to go in and sow a seed, amen, if you will. And I'm not talking about a seed into me, amen. This is actually kingdom work here, amen. There's a difference, amen. We want you to sow a seed that will help us to do the work that God has given us over in Africa, amen. And if you would do so, then we know that you're not giving to us. The Bible says that when you give to the Lord, you are when you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he shall repay. Amen. So I pray that you would take that into consideration. www.ctkr.org. Press the donate button and put in a memo there. Show us where you want this to go. Amen. And we'll make sure that that gift gets to the location. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go into the book of Luke. Amen. The first chapter. Familiar passage of scripture. I've spoken about this several times. And we have to understand that with the birth of Christ, there would be no death if there were no birth. And we always celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and he rose and it's his blood. But guess what? If there was not a vessel that could be used, amen, then there could not be a reservoir for the blood that was shed. Amen. So we have to understand that the blood of Jesus is that blood that was shed for us, but it is the blood that had to be infused in the body. Amen. It has to be held in that vessel. Amen. So when we look at this, we have to understand that God uses people, situations, and things to get his glory. Amen. Mm-hmm. Say that with me. God uses
people, things
to get his glory.
To get his glory.
Amen. We are vessels. Look at your neighbor and just say, we are vessels.
We are vessels.
Come on, you have to understand what you're saying right there, because a vessel is not something that is full. It's something that is empty that will be filled with something, amen. And when you are a vessel, then that says that, Lord, regardless of what I thought I was, amen, I empty myself so that I can be full of your glory, amen. The earth is looking for those vessels that are full of his glory. Amen. And we find out that too many people are just full of it. Amen. But not the glory. Amen. Amen. So let's read here. Amen. Luke, the first chapter, 26th verse, familiar passage. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Huh? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One that who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now it's the sixth month for her who was called barren. I think some people who have been waiting on your day to come should be shouting and hallelujah right there, because there's some things that have been caught bearing around you and about you, and God said, your day has come. Amen?
Amen.
For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? Then Mary said, 38th verse, behold your maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen? And the angel departs from her. Amen? Now, in this passage of scripture, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The word is blessed. Amen. As we begin to look at this, then we begin to see a few things. First of all, as we see this, this is the announcement to Mary, and it is also the declaration of the prophecy that is fulfilling itself. Amen. I wish I had time to really go into Isaiah and some of the others that, prophesy about the Messiah coming. We have to understand that there are many children who were born, but there was only one Messiah. Amen. And when you look at the Messiah was one who had to come a certain way. Amen. Had to arrive here at a certain time, and the time was set by God. Amen. The serving of that time, or the serving of this prophecy, was given to us so that we would know when that was. Amen. And there shall be signs. Amen. Huh? But there's other things that told us who he was. Amen. Now look at this. You look at the 30th verse. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid for Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. When we begin to deal with that, amen, then we begin to see that Mary was one who had not known a man. She was a virgin. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Now that word Emmanuel right there means God with us. Amen. Mm-hmm. You have to understand. See, there are certain things that we look at and we try to work ourselves through, but God is always in control. Even at the point of Jesus being born, Satan was still trying to figure out what God was doing. And I think that's a place to celebrate the grace and the wisdom of our Lord, because what he does is he has a plan and a purpose. And even though the devils act like he don't know everything. That's why he got to try to find a way to trip you up to your destiny, because he knows when you get down the road, you're going to become something greater than you are today. So he tries to use your today to hinder your tomorrow. You see that? So what he does is he begins to talk about what you can't do and who you aren't and why you're not qualified. Mary at this point is not qualified, amen, to bear a child because she doesn't know a man. You see that? So there's no way in the world that she can look at this happening herself. She can't perform this miracle in her own means. Amen. She doesn't have the capability to produce a son from nothing. Amen. She has the egg, but she needs the seed. Amen. Without that, you cannot produce a child. Amen. So now what's happening here is she's given now a prophecy telling her what is going to happen to her that fulfills the prophecy that has already been spoken to us. I hope y'all catching this here. Because some of you think that prophecy comes just for you. I'm looking for a prophecy for me. That's why you stop chasing after people who are prophesying to you. I'm talking about those who tell you that they got a word for you that the Lord gave them and you need to come up with $100. Listen, don't come up with that $100 because if it is God's will and God's word, that word has to get to you. Because without that word, the vessel cannot produce the harvest. Amen. See, these people out here try to get you to run after them and esteem them as really being saintly and godly. But what they're really doing is they're walking around soothsaying. Amen. They're walking around with all these different types of tricks and gimmicks. And God never needed a trick or a gimmick. Amen. He just does what he says he's going to do. If God says it's going to come to pass, then don't hold your breath thinking about it ain't coming to pass. You know, look forward because it's coming. Amen. God doesn't lie. God cannot lie. And because he's spoken out of his mouth, all of creation moves towards its completion. Amen. That's the type of God we serve. So here's Mary now. She's hearing these words and knowing that she can't do it in herself. She has to now try to find a way to clarify this word. Amen? Huh? Now, let me go back up just a little bit before we jump down further because I want you to see a few words here. When the angel appeared to her, amen. When the angel appeared to her, he came in and said, rejoice. And I think that word right there by itself is something that we need to look at. If God is speaking to you, huh? The first thing you need to learn how to do is rejoice. Now, why rejoice? You haven't heard what the end of this matter is. But you have to understand that when God is speaking to you to begin with, then it is a time for you to celebrate the fact that you are on God's radar. What do I mean by that? What do I mean? I'm talking about the fact that God could use anybody else. Huh? He could use anyone, and yet he chose you. Huh? He chose you for greatness. He chose you for a purpose. And this purpose he chose you for is not just so that you can sit back and say, you know, I just want to be used by God hopefully one day. No, you were designed with a purpose. Amen. Everything that you're going to go through then in this matriculation, in this processing, in this maturing, in this development, amen, as you go through it, it is for your good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord to the called according to his purpose. So that means that while God is sitting there speaking into your life, God has already designed the purpose for you. And as he's speaking those things, he knows that there will be greatness that is achieved from obedience to his will. Amen. So as we go forward, we see the word rejoice. We can shout now. If the Lord said, listen, I have something for you to do, you can say, hallelujah. Not, oh my God, what you want. See, the enemy has us tricked and fooled. Before we can even hear what God has said, we've already developed in ourselves fears, phobias. Amen. We're trying to throw at God our shortcomings, our inabilities. We're trying to tell God how we ain't never and we don't know how to and this is the first time. And God knows all that. Look at your neighbor and say, God already knows that.
He already knows.
He already knows that. And if God already knows that, then he knows where you can and where you can't. Mm-hmm. And he knows where his grace will cover you more. Because you don't have it within yourself to have a covering there. Amen? Amen. You can't fail when God gives you the ability to do something or he gives you an assignment to do something. Simply go for and do what God called you to do. Mm-hmm. The angel comes in, sees Mary, and then says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. And I want you to understand that that favored right there is the thing that the enemy doesn't want you to know about yourself. I preached this before, talking about favor. Amen? Huh? When he began to speak to her, he was letting her know that beyond anything else, that God is smiling upon you. Yes. God is looking at you. God has saw you, and you have become somebody who is the apple in his eye. And not only has he looked at you, he has begun to design a great end for you. Mm-hmm. You see that? Rejoice, highly favored one. Huh? So when he said that to her, he was telling her, listen, be happy because you have found favor in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. You see that? He goes on in the 30th verse and reiterates this whole thing. Amen. But you have to understand, when he said it at the very beginning, it was a declaration. Amen. See, line upon line, precept upon precept, let every word be established. It couldn't be just said once. It had to be said twice. Amen. To make sure that it wasn't just something that was random in his speech. It was a declaration that was being proclaimed over Mary and her life. She had to understand that you were not just somebody common who was about to do something great in the name of the Lord. You were somebody who got handpicked. He chose you. He set you up for this blessing. He set you up for this test, this trial. He set you up for this situation. Now, as you go through, recognize as you're going through the hardships or whatever it is, whatever the difficulties is, you're going through this, but you're going through because God has already given you favor, and that favor is the grace of God to overcome and to succeed at whatever the assignment is. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I can make it.
I can make it.
Come on, say it again. I can make it.
I can make it.
I know you can. Huh? See, God doesn't call us to things that we're going to fail. And as I said, he sent this highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And then he tells her, you know, blessed are you among women. Now, you have to understand that she's just doing what she needs to do, going about her business and her life, huh? Her comfort zone is interrupted by interjection from heaven. You see this? So as she's going along doing what she normally does, she gets the wording from on heaven, from heaven on high, as we say, amen, that says, listen, I'm about to mess your life up. I just have a question. Is there anybody in here who's willing to let God mess up your life? I just want to know. See, because when he comes in and he's going to mess up your life will be different afterward. And let's change this word right here, because God is not messing up your life. God is messing up your plans for your life. Huh? Because see, there's things that we want to do ourselves. And we have plans. We have purposes. We have things that we want to do. We're looking at it. We know how we're going to achieve it and how it's going to come to pass. And we've already set within ourselves that it's going to happen like this. And at this point, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to set this up. And that's going to do this. And then here comes God. And God comes in and tells you something that's totally different than what you want to do. Now, even in your plans down the road, future, you wanted to do this, you don't want to do it right now. Because look, she was betrothed, which means that she had plans of marriage and raising a family. She just wasn't planning on doing it now. You see that? See, so here she is, and in that day, you have to understand that the man and the woman, they betrothed or engaged to each other, amen. It was a promissory to withstand or to withhold from anyone else, amen, to wait for marriage and then to present yourself as pure to the one that you're getting married to, amen. It was common practice in the day then for the husband to be, to take care of the wife to be. This betrothal there was a promissory with a dowry that kept everything legal. Amen. A woman had to
If the man was unfaithful to her, he had to return the dowry. Amen. If she was unfaithful to him, she had to give the dowry as a payment for damages. See, there are things that were going on here that we have to read into this. Because when he came and talked to her about having a baby, see, he was going through legal things. He was going through cultural things. You see that? He was telling her something that went against the grain of her very existence. All her life she had been told, don't do this and don't do that. And here's the angel telling her something that is contrary to her common sense. And I want to tell you right now, because some of you think that you can have better common sense than God. But if God is saying it, let your common sense go for his common sense, because God's common sense is always rooted and grounded in his wisdom. His wisdom is so much greater than ours. Amen? Mm-hmm. Here she is. She's sitting here. She's hearing these words. He says, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Look what she said. 29 verse, because this is really where it is. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Somebody ever come up to you and tell you something that, you know, sounded way too good to be true, and you looking at them and see what angle they're coming, you know, so you know how you're going to formulate your rebuttal. Yep. See, that's the problem that we have when God is speaking to us. We think that there's a rebuttal that we can give. It didn't work for Moses. It didn't work for Abraham. See, we think that we're different than everybody else. Oh, yeah, you know, if God comes, he's a merciful God, ain't he? Yeah. So if he did this, you know, I'd be talking about mercy. Remember, you mercy, mercy. No. You have to understand that mercy and grace are two different things. And as there's a grace upon your life, it allows you to walk through things that you will succumb to. Uh-huh. Huh? Mercy keeps you in things that you should have succumbed to. You understand? That means that as you're walking through it, God is giving you a chance to walk out of it. You see that? Huh? So when you try to get live your life and think that the mercy of God is going to sustain you in judgment, guess what? Think again. It won't. Amen? What God said do is what he meant. Look at your neighbor and say, do what God said do.
Do what God said do.
Here, Mary then is dealing with the fact that she has to make a decision. He's speaking to me, and everything he's saying goes against the grain of what I've been raised and what I know culturally is correct. Huh? Even though she heard it, the Bible says, and consider what manner of greeting this was. And isn't it wonderful that God can look at us and he knows that when he sends the word that it's going to cause us some hardships? It's going to cause us some concerns. So he never leaves it there. He always sends a confirming word. He sends that comforting word. Amen? Amen. You find out that as you have gone out to do what God has called you to do, you'll run into some situations. And while you're right in the middle of it, God has sent somebody to remind you of the end game. Amen? Yeah. See, the end game is what you have to remember when it's difficult in the middle game. Amen? Before you start the game, you get the game instructions. You get in the middle of it, and it becomes a little difficult, and somebody comes in and reminds you of what's at the end when you get there. Amen? Mm-hmm. So God knew that Mary at this point was going to be a little concerned. So the angel in the 30th verse reiterates what he said to begin with. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. In other words, what I just said to you wasn't so off now that you understand that this is God speaking. Amen. I just want to know, and I know it's true because it's happened to us on many occasions, that God will speak a word. We'll go out of town somewhere. I'll be preaching. Prophets will be preaching somewhere. We'll be ministering somewhere. And we'll go from coast to coast. Amen. And as we're this place and that place, someone will come in and say, you know, the Lord told me to tell you X, Y, Z. And we'll look at each other and say, amen. We'll go to the next place ministering and preaching and doing what God said, and God will send somebody in. And they'll say, man, woman of God, the Lord told me to tell you X, Y, Z. And it'll be just like, amen, what we heard before. Now, these people don't know each other. They're just connected through the Spirit, amen. They're connected through the kingdom, amen. So you can take that then to be that this is not people trying to coerce you into an action or into a behavior pattern or something. This is God speaking and God confirming his word, amen. And the second time that you hear, it gives you faith, amen, and confidence in the first word that you heard, amen. So even though he spoke it, he speaks it again. I think Mary, after seeing this angel, would understand that if God chose to release an angel to speak to her, then ultimately it was important enough for her to have heard it the first time and believed it and walked with it. Amen. But don't judge Mary. How many times have you heard go and still ain't went? How many times have you heard do and still haven't done? How many times have you heard God said be and you still won't be? See, when Mary heard this, we understand her from a humanistic stance that she had to understand what was being said to her. Amen. But I applaud her for this simple thing because she didn't stop him in the middle of what he's saying. We don't see an interruption from her talking about how I don't know nobody and what, you know, and this ain't gonna happen, and you messing up my life, and all my life I just want to find a husband and raise a family and be happy. I just want 4 sheep, 2 goats, and a hen. You know, you didn't hear her say anything like that. You just heard her listen to what he said. We do see a question afterwards, but we get the question with clarity. Amen. Because as he's speaking to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. 31st verse, and behold, you will conceive in your womb. Amen. So now she heard about all this favor and everything. Now let me tell you what favor would get you. Amen. Because some of you are saying, I want to be favored of God. You know, the favor of the Lord. You know, God's favor and everything else. We seen it going out, shouting all over it. But let me show you what favor will get. Favor here for Mary said, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Now, some of you right now need to shout and thank God for the favor that he's extended over your life, that he's given to you, because the thing that you are impregnated with is the thing that is going to bless your life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to bring this forth.
You got to bring this
Come
forth.
Come on, tell them again, you got to bring this forth.
You
got
to bring this forth.
See, when favor is upon you, it's never there just to rest upon you, just like the anointing. The anointing never shows up just to prove to you that you got the anointing. Every time the anointing shows up, there is a purpose for it. There is a job to do. And the same thing with favor. When favor is upon you, it's not just there to rest so you look pretty. It's there because God has some work for you to do that without favor you could not accomplish it. Amen. So behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now look at this, because I like this right here, because when favor is there, even though you might try to apply favor in different other aspects of your life, favor has a design purpose. You see this? See, favor isn't just there so you, God gave you the ability to draw people to you, so now you're just going to draw people to you so you can capitalize upon the... No, no, God didn't give you favor for that, amen? And if you do it wrong, then when you get to favor and you try to use favor, you'll draw the people, but they'll see the wrong thing. It'll have the adverse effect that it was supposed to have. So what God does is he makes sure that when he gives you the understanding that favor is upon you and the level of favor upon you, highly favored one, then he makes sure that you understand the purpose of that favor. You will conceive, you will bring forth, and you shall call his name Jesus. Amen. Now, how do I know that what you're telling me is a good thing? Well, let me tell you what Jesus is going to do, who Jesus is. He will be great, 32nd verse. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So now she's starting to hear the full scope of what this favor is going to do in her life. What the assignment she's getting here is one of those that has dire implications upon creation should she not go forward with it. Some of you think that you can bargain with God because you don't understand how he's going to call you or how this is going to work for you. And I don't know. Can he find somebody else? Listen, if I hear another saint tell me, can God find somebody else? You know what? Suck it up. Get it together. Get your boots on. Lace them up tight and get to walking. Amen. God has something that has to be done by you. That's why he chose you. And when you go back through your whole life, you'll see that he was preparing you for the task at hand. I never wanted to preach. I wanted to play music. Amen? Huh? I'm quite sure there's other men and women of God out there who had other plans that the Holy Spirit interrupted, that heaven circumvented. Amen? Huh? You don't hear us bellyaching about it because we're glorying in the fact that God chose us for a greater glory than just playing music. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's those people that try to keep you in the pigeonhole of where you were. Amen? And sometimes in your own mind, you have to fight that demon yourself because you know you should be down the road and you still sitting there trying to be who you were so you don't have to answer the call to go forward. Huh? So favor got her a big assignment. You asking God for favor and more favor. You better understand what you're asking for. I said it before. When I was younger, Prophetess and I, we had just gotten married, and she was seeking, and she said, I want the gift of, healing. She said, I want the gift of healing. And when she said, the Holy Spirit said, no, tell her to learn me. So I said, you don't need the gift of healing. What you need to do is learn the Holy Spirit. When you learn the Holy Spirit, then whatever he needs from you, he'll give you. Amen? And wouldn't it be terrible to need miracles, signs, and wonders, and all you got is healing? So here, miracles, signs, and wonders go deficit, huh, in this area because you can heal, but you can't do no miracles, signs, and wonders? Well, isn't healing a miracle, sign, and wonder? Not when you need the lights to stay on when the box has been cut off. Not when you need the sun to stand still. Huh? Not when you need to find the fish and get out of its mouth what you need to go take care of your business. See, miracle signs and wonders are what you need at that time. Amen? See, so if you're just seeking after one spiritual gift or blessing, then you got that one spiritual gift of blessing. And if God didn't send you in an area where that is needed, then you are out of place. Mm-hmm. So rather than desire the gift, desire the giver. Amen? Yeah. And when you get the giver, then you'll understand the gift. So you can't just turn around and want something. You have to understand how God is going to use it. So if you learn the spirit, then you can learn how to accept what God, amen, I don't want to say it like this because I think people are taking this and ran with it, but what God allows, amen? Not what God allows you to do, but what God allows you to have, amen? So now Mary, she's heard all of this, and she's heard the end of the matter, and now she has some clarification questions. And you have to understand that there's a difference between you questioning God and you questioning for clarity.
True.
You see that? Yeah. Because if she hadn't asked this, then she would have went and tried to find her betrothed spouse, Joseph, to create what God called.
Right.
It's the same thing that Abraham and Sarah did when they went and got Hagar. See, some of you heard God's word but didn't go for clarity. So what you did is you created an Ishmael, huh? Trying to fulfill what God said because it was God's word, but it wasn't God's plan the way that you did it. Mm-hmm. So Mary here is asking a question, not to question God, but to get clarity from God. You see this? So Mary says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, I hear your plan and I'm ready for whatever God says. I'm his vessel. I'm ready to do it. But we got this one small issue that we need to clear up before I can go forward to do this. How can I do this when I don't know nobody? And this is in the biblical sense, amen. Those of you who don't know what that means, wait till you get old enough and then ask somebody or you'll know yourself, amen. Huh? So the angel then began to speak to her and give clarity. And I want you to know that in God giving you the monumental task and assignment that he doesn't mind you getting clarity in that task. Amen. In assignment. What he minds is when you put up your question as a way not to go forward. Your question doesn't become a question for clarity. Your question becomes a question for an excuse. Look at your neighbor and say, that's what God doesn't like.
That's what God doesn't like.
Come on, say it again. That's what God doesn't
that's
like.
That's what God doesn't like.
And if God don't like that, huh? Then when you ask the question, then you can look for, instead of an answer, you can look for a rebuttal. Some of you upset because you thought God should have just answered you because you felt it was a legitimate question. But God knew what you were doing, just like the angel knew what she was thinking, amen. He began to speak to her concerning the concern she had, amen. And God would deal with you concerning your rebuttal or concerning your question. See, we think that we can pull the wool over his eyes, but his eyes are everywhere. He's everywhere. He knows everything, amen. That's why we serve an all-knowing, an all-powerful, amen, all-present God. So he said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Mm-hmm. Huh? And the power of the highest will overshadow you. And notice, I wish I had time to really go into this. I preach a sermon called The Overshadowing, and this is the foundational scripture of that. Because the word overshadow there says something that we have to understand. To overshadow means to cast a shadow over, yes. But number two means to exceed in importance. So it means that when he overshadows whatever the concern or whatever the situation was, it becomes secondary to whatever his purpose is. Amen? You see that? So when we see it, then we understand that this is something that comes in and it begins to shift and change everything about her. It's an enveloping glory of God. Amen? You see that? So the Holy Spirit coming upon her positions or prepares her for the holy, for the highest, the power of the highest to overshadow her. We understand what the overshadowing is because what it did is when Moses would go up into the mountain, into the cloud, he would go up and commune with God. And when he came down, the glory of the Lord shone upon his face so much that people were afraid to look upon him. He had to put a veil upon his face so he could approach people. See, this isn't the first time that this has happened. Huh? In the cleft of the rock, it was hewed out, a cleft in the rock was hewed out so that Moses could stand in as God passed his hinder parts before him. And even that was so much that it became overwhelming for Moses. So here is another example of this overshadowing. You see, it became one of those things where it overshadowed Mary. And when it came upon her, she was overcome by it. Amen. Therefore, when she came to herself, she was impregnated. Amen. That Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now, some of you don't understand what happened in your life at different points. Man or woman of God spoke into your life, laid hands upon you. You felt the power of God. And then you left and you looked and everything looked the same to you. But really everything was different because at the point that there was a touching and an agreeing, there was a conversion in your spirit. Amen. And it will manifest in your life. But you have to nurture and cultivate that baby. Amen. Now, the whole thing is when you naturally, when a woman becomes impregnated, she got to put off certain things that she was doing before. She got to watch what she takes into her body. She has to watch how she does different things, her dietary and other things. She can't do perms and different other things. They will affect the fetus, amen. Certain medications she would normally take without worrying about it, she has to watch out for those, amen. If you notice, a lot of these medications that if you are pregnant or about to become pregnant, then consult your doctor. Or if you are nursing about to nurse, consult the doctor, because there are certain things that you can't do when you are impregnated, amen? And some of you have to understand that you are impregnated with the will of God, the purpose of God. See, and as you go through, you got to make sure that you protect the baby, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, protect the baby.
Protect the baby.
Oh, yes. So the one that is coming and the one that's going to be born has to be protected until it gets here. And God didn't choose you. He didn't choose you because you did not have the capacity to protect. He chose you because you did have that capacity. God knew exactly who he called. No, you ain't never had a child before. So, yes, this is new. Trust in the Lord. Amen? Huh? God wants you to know that you can do all things that he called you to do. And he'll always send a witness. Here's Elizabeth, your relative, who's going to conceive in her old age, and she was called barren. You're going to see people around you who never could get it together, starting to do and get it together. It's going to be a sign to you that what God said to you, he meant, and it's going to happen. Amen? But this is the part that I want to close on. Amen? Huh? The angel said something that Mary had to amen. Mm-hmm. 37 verse. For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, when you're hearing the things of God and what God wants to do, stop putting your shortcomings, your frailties, your inability, stop putting your resources and your fiscal stance up. You know, I know Kevin Hart made this famous talking about, you know, the way my bank account is set up. But people keep telling God that, you know, Lord, I know what you told me to do, but the way my bank account is set up. Listen, if you say amen to him and get in line, then God will change the circumstances of your bank account. I know you don't have favor and your credit ain't looking right, but guess what? When you get in line with God's will, then God will cause your enemies to be at peace with you. He'll cause your shortcomings to become your uprising. God knows how to do what he's going to do. He just needs you to say amen. And that's what Mary said here in the 38th verse. Mary said, behold, your maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen. Believe the Lord. Believe his prophet. You see that? The word of God is blessed and established. You can't get anywhere just running on your own pretenses. You got to do what God said to do and let God get the glory out of your life. Amen? Amen. Come on, I'm not done. I just got to quit. Time will dictate and mandate that I don't go any further, because we have to be able to bless you before we go. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this season. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Wow. What a gift. Thank you, Lord, because you have blessed us with the gift of life that keeps on giving. We thank you and we praise you. We honor you. Now, Lord, I pray miracles, signs, and wonders to be released upon the body of Christ. Those who know you, Lord, those who are seeking after you, Lord, I pray if they don't know you, Lord, they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. I pray for those who are sick and shut in. I pray for healing. Pray for those, Lord, who need miracles in their life. This is a time of year where people are suffering and going through hardships, Lord. I pray for resources. I pray, Lord, that you will make a way for them. in Jesus' name. We pray for our churches and our ministries that are around the world, Lord, those sons and daughters, those pastors, bishops, apostles, evangelists, Lord, that have come and said, could you cover us and could you help us, Lord? Give us wisdom in dealing with them. I pray right now for resources. I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest in their ministries now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. They're waiting on you, and so are we. Your charitable gift will do much work in the kingdom. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you in this holiday season that Jesus is the reason for the season, and it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.